go to the KRDO Newsline, and we promised you this report earlier in our show. It's from Brad Garrett, who's ABC News crime and terrorism analyst, who's joining us right now. And Brad, I know that you and others have been reporting on all of the security measures that were being taken and the risk assessments that were done prior to the inauguration of President Biden. But now that the inauguration has taken place, how well do you think this transfer of power worked?
Well, I think it ultimately worked at the end. The problem is the number of people that I think are still enraged, believing that President Trump, the election was taken from him, which, you know, clearly there's no evidence to support that. And that, you know, all the way up to almost the end of President Trump's period of time in office, this sort of fever pitch was still there of groups, you know, believing that he's the guy that's really going to save the country. And if he's not there, basically everything will fall apart. But, you know, what's interesting is most of us thought that the likelihood of anything happening during the inauguration yesterday was extremely low, just because the level of security was, it's the most I've ever seen at any location that's a public event. In this country. And so that two questions come to mind. One, with President Trump not in power anymore, will these groups sort of lower the temperature on their anger? I'm not convinced in the short term that's going to be the case, but we'll have to see. Some of these groups are angry that President Trump didn't pardon people that were arrested inside the Capitol. Will that have some sort of effect? I don't know. But I'll tell you, Shannon, that the sort of the immediate concern, as it has been even before all this started, are still lone actors, people who decide on their own to launch some sort of attack toward individuals, toward a building, something like that. Maybe a state capitol, maybe legislators they don't like or believe that, you know, they supported President Biden, etc. So we'll have to see.
And some of these groups really had hung their hats and their hopes on President Trump. I mean, he was definitely the vector that they were pinning all their hopes on. Now that he's left office and doesn't really have a way to communicate via social media like he had been, is that going to change, I guess, the aspects of this? I mean, because the threat, as you mentioned, it's not simply evaporated.
No, of course not. You know, partly, I think, Shannon, that's going to be driven as to what President Trump does as former President Trump. In other words, will he continue to incite people? I don't think he can probably use the fake election or the fraudulent election, because he basically conceded to President Biden, more or less. However, I think he still is a key player in whether these people continue to be aggravated enough to, you know, commit some act of violence. So that's one point of it. The other is, if you look historically at extremist groups, and we've had them in this country since the country was started, they sort of go up and down as far as their power base. I mean, the Ku Klux Klan started after the Civil War by a Confederate general, you know, raised to prominence, then it went down, then it went back up around 1910 when immigration started to be a bigger deal in this country, and then it went down again, but it never really disappeared. And I think a lot of these groups, they'll change names, they'll change leaders, but their sort of overall philosophy, whether it be, you know, white supremacy or Second Amendment issues, they'll continue to push those. I guess the question is, it's one thing to push them, it's another, obviously, to commit violence.
I had thought that following the Pizzagate unraveling, when a gunman showed up at that pizza parlor in Washington, D.C., expecting to find all sorts of things that QAnon had promised, and then nothing was found. It turned out there wasn't even a basement, and I thought that would just open up people's eyes, but it sounds like it went deeper than that.
Oh, there's no doubt. I think it went to the point where people, for a number of reasons, hook themselves to extremist lines of thinking. Part of it is it's a community. It's somebody that pays attention to them. It's somebody that can easily fire them up, and maybe they are people that tend to operate more off their emotions than operate rationally, and we all know people that act that way. Unfortunately, if you are an emotionally driven person and you hook on to one of these beliefs that, valid or not, you can incite people. And I think that has happened gradually over the last 4 years. And that's why some of these groups have gotten bigger, more pronounced, et cetera. And so, as I mentioned earlier, we'll have to see how long that really holds.
And Brad, really quickly, but do you think China or Russia or Iran are fanning the flames of this, stirring the pot to splinter the country even more?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, sending out disinformation at a level that's sort of unimaginable, is trying to incite people with bad information or things that are just out and out not truthful. To pit people against each other, because their belief is the more they can tear us down internally, the weaker we will be, which, if you're looking at this from their vantage point, that's probably not a bad approach.
Might have been effective over the last 4 years, in fact. Brad,
exactly.
Garrett, ABC News crime and terrorism analyst. It's always fascinating to talk with you, not about you, but about the subjects that you cover. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Take care, Shannon.
You too.